things on your fridge and you're able to look at them, and maybe you can't be involved in some of the things, but you can definitely pray for those things as well. So I would appreciate that. So we had the nursing home ministry this afternoon, and I went to our two favorite places, nursing home places. Well, they're all our favorite, but just the ones we enjoy a little more. I don't know. That sounds bad. I'm sorry. Lord, I apologize. We went to Taylorville Care and Taylorville Estates, which are close to our heart. But we were there today and got to minister to those people, and I just love seeing it to them. The attitude, the spirits they have are just phenomenal. And I said, we went to have a good time there to just encourage you. You know, we came today and we just showed up, shook their hand, said hello, prayed with them. And most folks just come and just are there. And so if you get a chance to come to one of our nursing home services, please do. I encourage you to be a part of that. I know it will be an encouragement to you. And so we've had that today. Of course, tomorrow we're leaving for junior camp. So pray for junior campers, Camp Assurance, as they head out to camp tomorrow morning, leaving here at 9 a.m. And just pray for all the junior campers that got to work on their hearts, not just our kids, but all the kids are going to be at Camp Assurance this week. Do pray for them, and pray for the speaker, that the Lord will speak to their hearts, okay? And then, of course, teen time tomorrow, 3:15 to 5:15. We've got the Park Glen Bible Study, 1 o'clock. That's there for you. And then you see the other things we've got going on regarding Bible school. And let me just say, with Bible school, our theme is finding fruitful farmers for the Father. And I know we have farmers around here, but I have yet to hear from anyone that is willing to help us with farming stuff, okay? And so I need your help desperately. We would love to have some decorations that are farm equipment related. We would even old school farm equipment. We'd love to have some tractors here on the property for Bible school. So if you or know somebody or you have one, we'd love and appreciate anybody to be able to let us borrow for the week to have some decorations that regard farming, and anything at all that's farming related that we could put for decorations. Would you please get in contact with me for the parade? We are going to be doing the parade this year, July 4th, and at 9:30, we'd love to line up and get going. Anybody's welcome to join us. We'll have both buses, Lord willing, running down the road there, and you guys can sit in the buses and wave your flags. You know, anybody could join us for the parade. You don't have to walk far. You can sit on the air-conditioned bus and just drive down the road. But I'd also like a tractor for that. And so if there's anybody who's willing to drive the tractor down the road, it'd be nice if it was an old tractor, you know, those are snazzy. But we put our Bible school banner on it, and, you know, we're going to be passing out invitations to the Bible school, little bags, got some candy in it, to the folks on the sidelines. And so if you are able, I'd love to have your help. July 4th, the parade. You can come, show up, just sit in the bus, wave your flags. We do need some help with folks passing bags out along the side. But and if you have a, you know, anything you could drive, maybe an old car, you know, motorcycle. I thought, you know, we could have Pastor driving his, you know, lend him a Harley or something and let him drive and have a sign, our pastor's cooler than your pastor. I just don't think that would go very well with a lot of people. So that's pretty prideful. But our pastor is coolest, but, you know, we'll not say that too loud. So it's recorded in live broadcast. So just so you know, Lord, I apologize. But just for your help us with the parade, pray for the parade, and then of course pray for Bible school. Love to have a good group of kids come this year. So would you pray for Bible school? Would you promote it? Share the Facebook posts we have. Invite as many people as you can. We'll have there's also those bags in the back. You could take any of those bags and pass them out to neighbors that you have around the neighborhood, and just get the invitation, the word out about Bible school. And of course, workers, so thankful for the many amount we have. Pray for the workers and for the kids that week. And so, of course, Camp Assurance dates, July 4th cookout. That'll be a wonderful time. So we'll be here. We'll have a good time on July 4th to have a nice time of fellowship together at church. And we do need you to sign up in the lobby if you're able to be here. 4:30 is when we start. 5 o'clock's dinner. And if you'd be here for that, I'd appreciate those things. And so that was the announcements as far as I know them. And so just continue to be a prayer and a part of the ministry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we love you. We thank you so much for your love and your mercy. We're so thankful for, Lord, all you do for us in a mighty way. God, help us, Lord, to just praise you and thank you. Lord, 7, 8, 9, 10, throughout the day, as many times as we can, to praise you for all you do. Lord, please just continue to bless the service tonight. And God, I pray you'll show up, Lord, as we report on the missions trip. And Lord, what you did there. Lord, give us wisdom. Lord, I pray if there's someone even here tonight who's not saved, that Lord, even might be saved. Lord, or maybe someone listening, God, help them to, Lord, even receive Christ tonight. May you be glorified and honored, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's take our hymn books. Please turn you to page number 358. Let's go ahead and stand for this song, number 358, Look to the Lamb of God. Dennis, would you mind leading us in prayer?
Dear Father, we pray tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this time, Lord, we have to serve you, Lord, and worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation, Lord, by worship. Truly, Father, just in prayer, we pray for us, mention, Lord, to be each one of them, Lord. You can be there, the pastor, and the message. Lord, just bless us all, Lord, for the peace of your Lord, our praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
more song, page number 469. We're going to sing the first two verses, "Not I But Christ." You may remain seated.
Thank you.
in Shorewood and hear from several of the people that were there as well.
We're good. All right. Praise the Lord. So we had a little video here that we'll show here in a few seconds just to fill you in on what the video is about. The video is our... No. That was a thumbs down. We do not have a video. I saw this. This. We do not have a video to show you, so we all are going to do it in charades. And so, Mr. Tippett, just give you a visual picture kind of what we were doing here in Shorewood, Illinois. We went up there last week with a teen group. We had a Tippett, Mrs. Tippett, Sandy, of course, Charity Night. I just want to first say thank you for them, for going, for giving up of their time. And then we have five teenagers. Three of them are not here tonight. Aiden and Tyler are up north with... their parents. Checking out college today this week. And so they're not here, but we had Caleb Grover and Tyler and Nathan Sherbert. And we do have Mia and Riley here. They're going to give their testimony here in just a little bit. But we took our group up there to Shorewood to work with Pastor Nathan Barber. This is their fourth year. So, you know, it's not a brand new church, but in church terms, it's still a growing church that needs. Needs the Lord to continue to look. He's planted lots of seeds, and God has given them some fruit, but still, we just need to pray and do our part to help out that ministry. And he is a wonderful man. I really enjoy spending time with Pastor Barber, him and his whole family. I mean, his wife, and they've got five kids that are just phenomenal and sweetest kids to ever be. I mean, it's just God, I know, is going to do a great work there. The devil's obviously got that town in his hand. There's lots of people there who work two jobs, and they're gone all the time, and, you know, church is just another thing. And the other thing they struggle with there is, you know, everybody lives there probably makes more money than I will in my entire life. And so, you know, they've got the things, and when they come to a church that's in a school building, you know, they're kind of like, well, okay. And then ask him, well, how long are you meeting in the school? And he says, well, for as long as God lives, God, you know, God provides a building, you know, maybe he asked them, do you have an extra, you know, $1 million you could spare? And they probably does not ask the first time visitor that, but, you know, anyway, you see, but they just say, hey, look, there's this new church, it's not really getting off the ground, and there's all kinds of entertainment churches that are all around there. And so they go find these entertainment churches, and they want to be entertained. And he's just praying and just continue to do his job there. So we're so thankful we got to do this for our second year. And we're just going to let the team very quickly give their testimony. And so we'll have my wife, Charity, go ahead, come on up, and just very quickly tell what the Lord did for you on your trip this time.
Counterpart with me. I had a wonderful time. It was our second year going as well, and I'm just thankful, Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunity that I got to minister and kind of to broaden our eyes. And I know it's still within our country, and I'm told it's a totally different experience when you go outside the country, and I've not experienced that very much. But to go to a church that is still growing. It really just opens my heart to maybe some of the things that I take for granted. You know, I am surrounded by a loving church family. And I get to enjoy daily Christian faith. Significant. And it was just another burden that she carried deep in her heart, and yet she didn't know it. And so it was just a sweet time of fellowship with her. I think one of the highlights for me of this week was a new friend that I made actually in the hotel. And I'll just be very general in the story, but she was actually the desk clerk there half the mornings that we were there. And one morning she came up. I was down there eating breakfast with the kids, and she knew that I think she'd had a previous discussion with Mr. and Mrs. Tippett, and she knew that we belonged to the bus out in the parking lot. And she had just been going through a lot of difficult things in her life, and she was saved and baptized in a like-minded church years prior, but some things happened, and she said she fell so hard she even got rid of her Bible. And she just was really discouraged, and as we got to talk, I got to kind of just try and encourage her in the Lord, and she said, "I'm searching." And she said when she came to church or to work that particular morning, she was having such a hard time, and she saw our bus sitting in the parking lot, and she said, "God was giving me a hug and saying, I haven't left you. I'm with you yet." Over the next couple days, her and I got to have some conversations, and I got to put some things in her hand. And just praying that she will reach out for that help that she's looking for. But, you know, sometimes, you know, we went to do a neighborhood Bible club. We had no idea that maybe there was somebody else. I was so proud of our teenagers. We had some amazing teenagers go, and all of our teenagers are amazing. We just had such a wonderful week with them. They are troopers. I'll tell you what, you know, by the time you get to Friday, you're tired. And some of them had some physical struggles that they were working through as well, and you just never would have known it. They just plugged along, and they did what they had to do, and particularly Friday afternoon. And they had to be out there in the sun plugging along and doing their stuff, and they didn't complain. They didn't, you know, say there was no negativity in their attitudes or anything. They just plugged along and did what they had to do, and then got on the bus and enjoyed the air conditioning. So I was so proud of the teenagers, and I'm just so thankful for the opportunity to minister with them, and I'm excited to see as the Lord grows them what God's going to do in their lives.
So as you probably already know, we're the two teenagers that are here tonight, and this was our second year coming to Shorewood, and
make the decision on his own. The Barbers were great. Their church people provided lunches for us, which was a blessing. Now, I got to know some of our teens a little better. They really took charge in the snack time, the game portion. We just sat there. And in caring for and teaching the little kids, like Riley was saying. Just as young Timothy in the Bible was taught and encouraged by his mother and grandmother, we need to encourage these teens to serve also. Some of them may not receive much encouragement from home. We need to be like Paul, who took young Timothy under his wing and taught and encouraged him. Their hearts are tender. Let's encourage them and help them find a place to serve.
Thank you. I should have went first. I always like going first because I got a lot of repeats, but that's okay. I enjoyed the trip and got to know everyone better. I was reminded you're always a sermon in shoes. The Lord puts you in the right place at the right time. A motel worker, I think Charity referred to this, with spiritual knees on the way to work, saw our Grace Baptist Church van out front and knew the Lord was working. I had the privilege of leading a 13-year-old young man to the Lord. His dad was a Baptist preacher. Our 7-year-old grandson was led to the Lord. I'd like to thank the Pastor Barber and the church members for several good meals. I really enjoyed the trip. I really did. Really, it was a good trip.
Trip, and we're just so thankful for the opportunity to go. And so last year we went, it's the first time we got to meet Pastor Barber, and we went to these two parks, Caton Ridge Park and then Liberty Park. They're in two different subdivisions there and right by his neighborhood. And it's kind of funny, I think his church, they meet in one town, the places, the parks are in another town, and it's called Shorewood Baptist Church. So his goal is to meet in Shorewood, which is a city just a little bit away, and that's where he lives, is in Shorewood. But if you walk, you know, basically walk across the street, you're in one town, and then if you just drive a little ways, you're in another town. I think our hotel room was in Joliet. So, you know, that's just the kind of town they have. There's just houses and houses everywhere. I don't think there's any way, even in his entire lifetime, he could reach everybody in that neighborhood. I mean, unlike Taylorville, where you drive 5 minutes, you're out of town, he could probably drive an hour and still be in houses. And so such a wonderful opportunity he has there in Shorewood. And so last year, man, things went great. It just seemed like we got there and kids showed up. And as the week went on, just as normally is the case, more and more kids come. And, man, we got some great contacts. Matter of fact, when we got there this year, he handed us the contacts from last year. And I think there was 14 on the sheet that we had. We made visits, and I think he had 10. And so that was just visits that we got from last year's Bible school, and so Bible club. So we were pretty sure that, man, we were going to be able to build on what we had. I don't know what happened, but we didn't hardly have anybody return from last year. So everyone that we almost got to minister to this year was new. And that was good, but the first day we had the one park, it was just two little girls. Of course, one of those girls got saved, and brand new person there, brand new contact for Pastor Barber, and then, of course, her friend. And then throughout the week, the other park there at Liberty Park, we were able to see more kids come. And I think by Friday, we had a fairly good group at both parks. And so we're just so thrilled with what we're able to do. And as Pastor Barber is going to take those names and is going to be able to follow up. And I texted him this week and said, hey, how'd follow-up go? And he said he was able to go visit some of the families. And there's one in particular. Of course, Charity has mentioned the one lady. What was her name? Okay, well, there is a lady that is there in the hotel that truly is seeking and searching. So pray for her. And the other one's name was KJ, I believe. And KJ is from Slovenia? Somewhere, oh, Estonia. He is from Estonia. And he's actually a movie star. And he's a producer now. And he is trying to produce a movie there. And he had his kids there. And they came to the park on Thursday, came back on Friday, and Pastor Barber really connected with him. And the man is phenomenal. And has some belief in Scripture, and I'm not quite sure if he's saved or not, but please do pray for KJ, because it would be great for KJ and his family to get in church. Because as of right now, Pastor Barber's church, you walk in there, there is one family that is ages 30 to 50. Everyone else is 50 and above. And, of course, you need that group, that age group, to really minister in that neighborhood, because that's where most of the people are in the neighborhood. Most of the people in the neighborhood there in Sherwood are folks that are ages 30 to 50, and they're working age, and they've got families. I mean, it's amazing. You know, you drive down the street in Taylorville, sometimes you don't see kids. You probably couldn't drive down two blocks without seeing kids in the neighborhoods over there, because these are just families that are growing, they're new. And so I'm just excited about what God's going to do. But we would appreciate your prayers, that God would continue to bless Pastor Barber. Pray for him, pray for the church there, and do pray for her dad, as he has surgery this week to remove a giant tumor in his stomach. And so if you'd be in prayer for her dad, that surgery go well and be able to recover without any problems, I would appreciate that. And so the only other thing that I would like to really say is the teenagers. We went there, as I said. I found out on Friday and Saturday and Sunday that two of our teenagers were going to be a little bit sick. And so I was just, man, I was really, how am I going to get through this week? I need them. I knew Riley was in charge of teaching the kids lessons, and I knew Ethan was a big part of the games, and I couldn't do both of those because I had my job that I had to do. And so we just got here on Saturday and just really talked about it. And sure enough, God just really gave them the peace and strength to get through it. And I know I've worked with adults who did not feel good. And they, I'm not being this mean ways, but they would have put an adult to shame because they did not feel good, but you wouldn't have known it. They put a smile on their face. They just kept working. How many of you guys have ever worked with somebody who didn't feel good and they let you know it, right? You've been that person? Listen, my teenagers, you couldn't even told it one bit. I even told them, I said, listen, honestly, if you don't feel good, we'll let you stay and you can just relax and just chill and it'll be okay. Didn't even hear a peep out of them about wanting to stay back. And they obviously had the opportunity to. So I was so impressed with their teenagers. And not only did they work hard, because it's hard work. We get up, we get going, and by 9:30 we were at the park. We have to load everything and set it up at the park. Then we have to do the park ministry for an hour and a half. Then we have to set up, tear everything back up, put it back in the bus, go to the next park, set it up, do another hour and a half park ministry, tear it all down and put it back in the bus. And then by the time we're done, you know, that's a lot of work. Teenagers did it day in, day out. And when we got there on Saturday, I believe we passed out over 1,000 invitations to the park ministry, and they didn't complain. It was hot, it was warm, but they just worked hard. And I just want to brag on them and just say, please continue to pray for our teenagers. God is working in their hearts and their lives, and I believe even one of them confessed, I want to do something like this for my life. And that would be huge to see some of our teenagers just say, listen, I want to invest my life into the ministry and to seeing kids and young people saved. And to just continue to pray for the youth ministry, as I think it was Mrs. Tippett that mentioned, you know, find a teenager to pick out and to love on. And not that you're playing favorites, but man, that is a teenager that I'm going to love and that I'm going to pray for and I'm going to be involved in. We've got a huge group of teenagers that would just love for somebody to follow up on them, to pray for them, to introduce yourself, and to be a huge encouragement into their lives. You know, because me, I'm just Pastor Cody. But for somebody else inside the church to love on them, to show affection, to show that you care, would be huge in their lives. So just continue to pray for our teen department. And so those are the park ministry, and the pastor just asked me to just kind of share what the lessons were about, and so this is going to be our sermon portion of the night, and Lord willing, we'll be out of here pretty soon. So if you have your Bibles, would you turn to Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, and we're going to read a pretty good passage of scripture here, but in Matthew chapter 25, we're going to find the story that we're going to be talking about. So just so you guys know, with our Bible school theme, is the same theme that I ran over there, is the finding fruitful farmers for the Father. And basically the theme of finding fruitful farmers for the Father is to help the young people to understand that their lives matter and what they do matters. Everything they do matters. Every action, every word, every thought, even the things you don't do have an effect in this world. How many of you would admit that it seems like the world is winning versus God's work? How many would admit? You think the world is having an effect? How many would admit even the world is having an effect on the church, right? I mean, sometimes you walk into churches and you wouldn't know whether you're at church or whether you're at, you know, some worldly event. You know, yesterday behind the church, they had some huge party, and man, it was boom, boom. Oh, man, I was sitting over there in my office, and it was just annoying. It was just noise. But sometimes you go into a church, and that's what it is. It's just noise. The world has infected the church. The world is affecting the world. And here we are in the church trying to wave our little, you know, gospel light, and trying to share the gospel. And we have a group of young people that I am encouraging to say, listen, we need your help. We need you to be fruitful farmers for the Father. And what a fruitful farmer does is take what God has given them and put it back into God. To give it back to God, to give it to others. And as you give what you have back to God, as we're going to see in this story, God gives you more. And as you work hard and as God continues to bless, you see more and more fruit. And we want young people to say, I want to invest in spiritual things, in eternal things. And so let's just read this passage of scripture. We all know this passage of scripture. We've been in church even for a short time. This is a very familiar passage, but let's go ahead and read it. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called for his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according as to his several ability. Let's stop and just kind of take inventory. He's got 3 servants he's going to give some gifts to and say, take this what I have and apply it and you know, make me some money from it. All right. And so we would say, all right, that's okay. He gave 1 5, 1 3, and 1 1. Why did he give the 1 5 and the other 1 1? Can someone maybe give me an answer there? Why would he give 1 5 and only 1? He'd give the other guy just 1. It answers the question in the scriptures. Has the severability, okay? So the master, who works with these guys on a regular basis, knows this guy is a 10, this guy's a 1. You know, I've watched this guy work. Yeah, he shows up, but man, he doesn't just give his all. But this guy, man, he does his best. And okay, and he says, I'm going to give you 5 talents, but he says, listen, I love you, and I trust that you're going to take the 1 talent I give you and do something with it. He's giving him that chance to say, don't blow it. So he takes the 5, he's got the 3, and he's got the 1. And it says in verse 60, that he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them 5 other talents. And likewise, he that had received 2 also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with him. And so that he had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He that also received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord unto say to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been joyful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Take a time break here, just because this is sometimes people get discouraged about this, okay? The guy who had 5 made 5. The guy who had 2 made 2. God said the same thing to both of them. Well done. Well, that's not fair. That guy had 5. He should have gotten a huge blessing, and he should have been really proud of him. And that guy only made 2 talents. Well, listen, he knew that this guy only had 2 talents. And he took those 2 talents and made 2 other talents. Did he double what he had before? The guy who had 5, did he double it? Should either one of them be jealous at each other? No, they both worked hard. They both got the same reward. And folks, listen, in church, in ministry, we cannot go around saying, I only have 2 talents and he's got 5. What can God do with me? Take your 2 talents and do what you can with your 2 talents. Don't be discouraged. Don't be, you know, moping around because you don't have what someone else has. And the guy who has 5 talents, he shouldn't say, well, bless God, I've got singing down and I can do this and I can do that. And well, you just that. No, listen, everyone has given the ability by God that God has entrusted you. Now, in my life, in my own experience, when I started out in ministry, I truly believe God gave me 1 spiritual gift. 1. Okay? And I took that 1 spiritual gift, and instead of hiding in a rock and saying, oh, well, I don't have this, and I don't have that, and I don't have this, I said, well, I'm going to use what God has given me, and I used it. And sure enough, 5 years roll around, and I start finding out, hey, I've got a few other spiritual gifts. And now I've been saved for 17 years, and serving God for almost entire time. And now I look around and say, wow, I've got a whole lot more than 1 spiritual gift now. How did that happen? And I'm not bragging on me. I'm just saying, listen, I started out with very little. And with work and with effort, God continues to bless me. And God continues to give me more. Why? Because I took what I had and I used it. I didn't say, well, I don't have much. I had something. And this man says, I only have 2 talents, but I'm going to work my hardest to get the 2 talents back. And he did. But then you have this other guy. And he says in verse 24, then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid the talent on earth. Lo, there thou hast it in thine. His Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I have not sowed, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou hast therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For in every one that hath shall be given, and to him that hath abundance, from him that shall be taken away even that which he hath. And this passage of scripture very clearly gives us the illustration that we all have been given something by God. God has given everyone something. Something that you can do to do for him. And I explain to the young people, listen, what God has given you is your time, your talent, and your treasures, okay? And everybody on this earth, as long as you're alive, has the same amount of time, okay? And what you do with your time is your choice. Now, not everybody has the same treasures, amen? I grew up not having very many treasures, all right? Does that mean that God doesn't love me anymore than he loves someone who has many treasures? No, not even close. That means that's what God gave me to work with. And I'm supposed to take what God gave me, my treasures, and I'm to take it and invest it into God. And it seems like this is the way it goes in the world today. Those who have 1 talent say, well, I only have 1. I have to use it on myself. I can't do anything for God. Those that have 10 talents, they sin and say, well, I have too much. I can't give all this to God. And so I'm just going to hold back and use it on myself. Listen, folks, it's not to be that way. It's to be, I have 1, I'm going to use my 1. I have 10, I'm going to use my 10. This is what God has given me. So you have your time, you have your treasures, and then you have your talents. And your talents is simply ability, okay? An ability that you have. Well, I don't have many abilities. Well, listen, you can walk, amen. Many of you, Lord willing, you can talk, amen. Many of you have the ability to use a computer. Many of you have the ability to do a lot of things that you don't think are useful. But God gave you those abilities to use for him. And so many people take the abilities that God gave them, and all they do with them is use it for their own good and for their own glory. And listen, folks, that's what the world does. The world, the devil, wants everyone to take what they have been given by God, and number one, not recognize God gives it to them. Number two, he wants them to use it on themselves, and he wants them to waste it. That's what God, that's what the devil wants us to do with our time, our talent, and our treasure. Waste it and invest it in ourselves and not be thankful for it. But God, on the other hand, says, listen, I want you to take your time, your talent, and your treasure. And first of all, I want you to realize every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. God, to realize, God, everything I have is yours. My car, my boat, my job, my health. God, everything you have given me. And the person who's going to work for God says, it's not mine, it's yours anyway. Like that servant who had five, he didn't take it and spend it on himself. He says, it ain't mine, it's his. I'm going to work for him and work to give it back to him, and then God will bless. Listen, the devil is the one who wants us to waste what we've been given. Now, folks, I just want to encourage you, as I encourage the kids, take what God has given you and give it back. Now, what can we do with our time, our talent, and treasure? Of course, the first thing you can do with your time, talent, and treasure is you can invest it in yourself. Okay? So I have, and there's nothing wrong with this, okay? So you have to sleep, right? You have to eat, right? You have to have a car, right? And these are things you kind of have to have. And so there's no shame in saying, I've taken some of my treasures, I've taken some of my time, I've taken some of my talents, and I've invested in myself. Nothing wrong with that, okay? But here's the problem, is when that's all the focus is. When the focus is a little heavily on you and not very heavy on God. Or when the focus is a lot heavy on you and there's nothing for God. I have all this time, I have all this talent, I have all this treasure, and what am I doing with it? I'm investing in myself. Who gets the blessing when you invest everything you have into yourself? Who? You do. Does anybody else get the blessing? Does God get praise from it? No. The second option you have to do with your time, your talent, your treasure is to invest in other people. God says to love your neighbor. God says that we should be charitable to give. And listen, if God has given you extra, and you know what you have is extra, you should share and give. To him that hath should be given. You know, if you have something, you know you can give it to your brother, and you give not, listen, you don't love your brother like you say you do. Listen, folks, if God has given you your time, your talent, and your treasure, he has not just given it to us to invest in ourselves. He's invested in us to give it to others. And as we give to God, who gets the blessing? If we give it to other people, who gets the blessing? They get the blessing. Is God going to receive an honor from that? Because we obeyed him, right? And we're going to get the blessing in return. Three areas that get blessed when you give your time, your talent, your treasures to someone else. They receive a blessing. God is glorified. And in that, you are going to receive a blessing from it. Then you can take your time, your talent, your treasure, and give it back to God. All right? God doesn't ask for everything. God doesn't ask for you all your time. God doesn't ask for all your talent. But God doesn't ask for all your treasure. He says, I want your tithe, 10%. God says, hey, I want you to pray. I want you to spend time in the Word of God. I want you to work. I want you to do the things you need to do. But I want you to spend time with me. And folks, listen, all of us have the ability to invest our time, our talent, and treasure to God. I was in the nursing home today with folks who are a whole lot worse off than you are. And I'm not being critical here. I'm just saying they are in worse shape. Can you admit that? But you know what they do? Many of them spend hours in prayer. They take their time and they invest it in prayer. Many of them invest, even though they don't feel like it, they get out and they go to their worship service. Listen, folks, they know, they understand. Listen, I don't have much to give, but what I'm going to give, I'm going to give back to God. And who gets glorified when you give your time, your talent, your treasure to God? God gets the blessing, amen? Others get a blessing. Maybe you give to Missions Fund, or maybe you give to the church, or the church shares with somebody else. Other people get a blessing, and on top of that, you're going to get a blessing. The third thing you can do with your, the fourth thing you do with your time, talent, and treasure is just simply waste it. And of course, that's what the devil wants you to do. The devil wants you wasting your time. The devil wants you wasting your treasure. The devil wants you wasting your talents. He wants you to take what you have and say, well, I'm just not going to do anything with it. And folks, that is shameful. And I don't want to pick bones here, but folks, we need to realize what God has given us and glorify and magnify his name for it. And realize that when you take what God has given you and you don't invest it in yourself, you don't invest it in others, you don't give it back to God, it's wasting it. It's hiding it under a rock as that one servant did. And folks, listen, God is going to take from you. Well, why don't I have this and why don't I have that? Because what God gave you, you didn't invest back in. And folks, listen, the reason the world is winning today is because we are not sowing our seeds like we're supposed to. The reason the world is continuing to overcome and overtake is because people in the house of God are not taking what they've been given and giving it back like God has asked us to. The world is making money. The world is being popular. The world is getting all the attention because they take what they have and they pour it back into the world. We are to take what we have and we are to pour it into God and into God's people and to God's work. And that's when God begins to bless. I just want to close with three passages of scriptures of God's instructions of what we are to do with our time, talents, and treasures. The first one says, Colossians 4, 5, and 6. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. So this is your time. Let your speech always be grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So what should we be doing with our time? Using our tongue. We should be using our time to glorify and praise God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11 says, But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one toward another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do the ability which God hath given. That in God all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11 tells us that we are to be loving, that we are to take the abilities that we have, our words are to be pleasing to God, every one of them. Our actions are to be useful for other people. And folks, listen, what are you doing in your life? What ability have you given to help someone else this week? What ability have you given to God this week? If you haven't, start. Find some area you can invest in the life of somebody. Find some. I'm not talking about your money, okay? I don't have much money, okay? I don't. But I have 24 hours in every day. And what am I doing with my time? I have abilities. I'm 32 years old. I have a lot of abilities that I could do. And I hope that I will say, listen, I don't have much money that I can give, but there's a lot of things I can do. And there's a lot of things I could say. I could use my time, my talent, my treasure. And then this one we're going to close, Proverbs 15:16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. What does that verse say? Proverbs 15:16 simply says, hey, let's get our eyes off our treasures. Let's stop trying to add more and more treasures into this earth. And let's just say, hey, listen, this is not important. I'm going to take what treasure God has given me, and I'm going to give it back. Because, listen, only thing that treasure mostly brings is robbers, looters, thieves, troubles, trials, all these things. You have more treasures, you have more troubles, you have more trials, more things for people to take, more things to be consumed about. And folks, listen, if you're here today and you realize, man, my eyes are on treasures, and it's about treasures in this world, would you just begin to realize treasures are not all they're cracked up to be? Because eventually that car is going to break. Eventually that house is going to need a new roof. Eventually all those things that you're, adding to your life is going to break and be a dirt ball one day. But folks, listen, let's look to heavenly rewards. Let's set our eyes on heaven and realize I need to lay up treasures there where moth and rust does not corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. And I need to lay up treasures in heaven. And how do we lay up treasures in heaven? Well, taking your time, your talent, your treasure, giving it back to others, giving it back to God. God will take it and bless you. And as you give what you have back to God, what do you think God's going to do? Give you what? More? Is God a just God? Is God a rewarding God? I give mine to God. God gives his back to me. And I'm going to have more than I had before. And so now I take the more that I had before and I give more. And as you give more, what do you think God's going to do? God's going to give you more. Because he says, you will not outgive me. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give unto your bosom. For the same measure that meet with all shall be measured unto you again. God is very simply saying, you give, I'll give you more. More than you could even hold. But so many of us take what we've been given. Mine. You can't have it. It's mine. Listen, give it to God. It's so much better, so much more rewarding. And listen, God is pleased, others are pleased, and you're going to receive the blessing from that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. God, we're so thankful for the opportunity we have to be here tonight. God, I'm so thankful for the church and how they were such a blessing with us this week to Lord, allow us to go on this mission trip. Lord, many of them supported us and funded some of the teenagers to go. And Lord, would you give them a special blessing, Lord, that they were a blessing to us. And God, would you give them a blessing for being a blessing? Lord, I just pray tonight that you'll help us understand that, Lord, when we stand before you, Lord, you are not going to care about the treasures we had on earth. Lord, you are not going to care about the food we had in our refrigerator. Lord, you are not going to care about our rank or score on some video game or how many friends we had on Facebook. Lord, what you're going to ask is just as this master asked, what did you give to make me while you're on earth? And Lord, we only have one life and only have one chance at this, to lay up treasures in heaven. And God, the world is winning. The world is defeating us. The world is invading our lives. And God, we are selfish. And God, we are letting the devil control our lives. Many of us. The devil wants us to waste what we have. The devil wants us to not be thankful. The devil wants us to give our world and be attached to this world. But God, you, on the other hand, do not want us to be closed up. God, you want us to spread the word. You want us to use our talents and our treasures and our time to share it, to spread it around. And Lord, if we would do this, God, we would see this church grow. God, we would see our families grow. God, we would see blessings all around us. Lord, we need to start fighting the world. And we're going to fight the world, not by fighting physical world, but by fighting the world with love. And fighting the world that we care, and by fighting and giving back to God. And Lord, as we are to do what we're supposed to do, and Lord, as we are to begin to resist the devil and to start serving you, God, things will change. God, help us, Lord, tonight to take an inventory of our life, to think about our time, our talent, and our treasures. Lord, there's something that we have. There's not a single person in this room who has nothing they can give to God. Everyone has something. And Lord, I just pray tonight that we would honestly take an inventory of our life and realize, are we doing what we can? Or are we being like that slothful servant who's hiding our time, our talents, and our treasures under a rock? And God, when we stand before you, we're going to say, hey, here's what you gave me, God. Thank you. And Lord, you're going to look at us and be so ashamed. God, help us to be that good and faithful servant. Lord, may we stand before you in heaven, and may you look us in the eyes and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Help us, God, to seek that today, to be good and faithful servants. God, work on hearts, we pray. As the piano plays and as God has spoken to your heart, just in your seat there, no one's looking. If God has spoken to your heart tonight, the piano is going to play. And as the piano plays, just talk to God and ask him, seek and search in your own hearts. And just take 2 minutes right now of your time. And if you want to come down the altar and pray, that's fine. But if you want to pray in your seat, that's great. And just take these 2 minutes and talk to God. First of all, the first thing you do is you tell God thank you for what you've been given. Tell God you're so grateful. The second thing you need to do is you need to apologize and ask for forgiveness for wasting the things that God has given you. And finally, in your prayer, would you ask God to use what you have and give it back to God? He doesn't want everything. There's a lot of things he wants you to have and you to keep. But Lord, there's a lot of things we need to give to him. Just spend some time in prayer.